give it again.
Okay. We have the distinct honor tonight of having Tzvi Goldstein giving muster. Tzvi Goldstein went to the Fast Yeshiva High School, then learned here for 3 years, the third year as a madrich. He studied under Swirsky Shir, and is considered his top Talmud of all time. he then went on to finish Shas.
What's his plug?
He went on to finish Shas, and now he's in the middle of Smicha, did a year back in the Heights, and now in Eretz Yisrael with his wife and kid. He's the Mashkiach of the Shana Al program, the head of the afternoon theater, and who knows, maybe in the future Shiva.
Wait a second. Maybe?
Wow. Good on Moonshin.
You know what happens when folks come.
So that was the first time I've ever been introduced. So that was pretty good. Okay. So packed house. A lot of people here. The only reason there are a lot of people here is because the previous three musters basically been the all-star lineup. You guys know backyard baseball, right? Yeah, fantastic. So basically, no, this is good. Basically, we've had Ahmed Khan. Ahmed Khan, that he's going lead off. Then we had Keisha Phillips, Pablo Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
Please, don't try to be Medayek, which Revy I'm saying was which batter. And then, batting cleanup, you got Pete Wheeler.
Oh.
Now, Pete Wheeler, he's good. He's fast. It's good for a bunt. It's not really a cleanup hitter, though. So this is like the first time you guys are going to see that just because somebody's a staff member in a hotel doesn't mean they're actually good at mustard. But I'm going to try my best.
That was Star Wars.
What, Pete Wheeler mustard? So now that we've taken the bar from like here, and it's like down here somewhere, I'll hit like here, and it'll all be good. Sometimes you get lucky and you come across the best Medrash Chazal. If you ever had a question as to whether Chazal were like sharp, could read well, just find these Midrashim, they're fantastic. They're like the best shade you've ever thrown in your life. The classic one that I've heard is a conversation between, these are measures, they're not actually found in, they're not shot. Conversation between Yaakov and Leah. This is right after the wedding. Yaakov wakes up and is like, wait a minute, you're not Rachel, you're Leah. What's going on? He's like, surprise! That part's not haftaah. That's not in the Medrash. But Yaakov says to Leah, like, what is this? You're just like your father. You lie, you cheat. Like, you're not supposed to be here. What is this? What kind of a liar are you? It's like, that's pretty harid. Leah says back, I'm just like my father. I'm just like my father. You tricked your own father! Oh! That part's in the measure. That's very, very funny. But obviously the idea that Chazal is trying to express there is a very deep one. But it makes so much more of an impact. It makes so much more of an impact when it's said that way than if they just said, like, Yaakov lied to his father, so Leah, like, he was lied to himself. But it's much more impactful that way. So we have a similar medrash brought by the Netziv on this week's Parsha. Just get ready, buckle up. If you thought that was bad, this is gonna... We have... That part wasn't even funny. We have L'David Hashem Ori. In the middle of L'David, right? We have Acha Shalti Meis Hashem Osa Avakesh, right? David says, one thing, I have one request. That's the part that's actually in Tehillim. Zoom out, Medrash. Chazal points out, Hashem says, wait a minute, David, slow down. Acha Shalti Meis Hashem. I have one request, right? I have one thing that I'm asking for. Then what does he come up with? That's not one thing. You said one thing. You're telling me one thing. I'll give you one thing. You're going to ask for three things. That's not okay. Okay, it's pretty good. Hashem's pretty chayri. That's nice. David says back. Get ready for this. David says back. Hashem, where do you think I learned that from? And I'm being respectful, guys. I'm just trying to dramatize all of it. But it was all full respect. David says back to Hashem, "Where do you think I learned that from? I didn't just make that up on my own." Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach Kiim. What's next? What? I have one request, Jewish people. One thing I ask of you. Ma Hashem Elokecha. What am I asking for? Kiim. Liras Hashem Elokecha. Laleches b'chol derachav. La'avoso. La'avodos Hashem Elokecha. B'chol levavcha. B'chol nafshcha. Lishmores. Mitzvos Hashem Elokecha. L'tov lach. One thing! Just one thing! So Hashem, if you can do that, if that's okay for you, I'm learning from the master. I said one thing, achashalti, and I came up with three. You came up with five. So what's going on? None of this makes sense. Right? We have David asking for one thing, but asking for three things. We have Hashem saying, "Ma, ma, Hashem elokecha shoel," and going on with a list of a bunch of things. One more, and suddenly everything's going to come together. Atani tzavim, hayom kulchem, lifnei Hashem elokechem. What do we have? We have a whole list. Now, wouldn't it be crazy if the list of people in the beginning of Nitzavim was somehow related to the list of requests that Hashem makes in Parshas Ekev? This is going to be like a ridiculous gematria where like everything just fits together and it's wild. So that's what we're about to do right now. The Nitziv is amazing. The Nitziv says, if you take the list in Ekev and the list in Nitzavim, they match up one to one. So we have four groups. We have four different kvutzot, basically, of Am Yisrael. And Hashem says, I'm not going to ask the same thing from every single one of you. You're all in different places. You all have different responsibilities. You all have different ways that you're going to relate to me. So I'm going to ask one thing from each of you. Let's go through them. First we have the Rosh Hashem Shivtechem, the heads of the nations. They have one responsibility. What's the first thing in the list in Ekev? The Yiras Hashem Elokecha. Their single responsibility, as the Nitziv explains, and Hashem says, is to fear God. Yiras Hashem. The way the Nitziv explains Yiras Hashem, this is interesting, is to have God on their mind. Not fear, not freaking out, just have Hashem on their mind. Why? Why is that the setup? For the Rosh Ha'am, all their time is given to the Tzibur, right? You have somebody like Avraham Avinu, he's visited by the Shechina. What happens when Orchim come, when guests come? He needs to leave. He's told to leave and go take care of the people. That's the model that the Rosh Ha'am follow. That's the model that the leaders of the Jewish people are meant to follow. They don't have time to just dedicate to Hashem all day. They don't live in the Beis Medrash. They're busy with the klal. They're, I don't know, setting up schools and fixing the traffic systems. They're in the nitty-gritty every single day, making sure that the people have what they need. They don't have the time to dedicate to straight learning, to Ava, to all the big things. The only thing Hashem is going to ask from them is to have me in mind all the time. Yiras Hashem. Every decision that you're going to make is made with me in mind. Will this be the most impactful for my people, for the Bnei Yisrael, to facilitate their own relationship with Hashem? Masha Melkecha Shoel Me'imach Ki'im Liyiras Hashem Melkecha Rosh Ha'am Rosh Ha'chem Shivtechem. Next we have Ziknechem Mishiftechem. Ziknechem Shoterechem. What's the next thing in the list in Ekev? Kiyim Liras Hashem Elokecha. U. We have a long one. Liava as Hashem Elokecha. So number one, Avas Hashem. Talks about the mitzvos. The full commitment to the mitzvos. So the focus of the next group, the Talmidei Chachamim, is to love Hashem and work at becoming more godlike. All of their energy, they're not responsible for the people, they're not built around the klal. They're meant to be Talmid Chacham, that's what they're focusing on right now. And we're going to say, you can switch between groups. You can be a Rosh Ha'am for 1 year and be a Talmid Chacham for the next 5 years. You can be a Talmid Chacham for 5 years and go back to being a Rosh Ha'am. You can bump down to the Hamonei Am, we're going to get to them in a minute. You're not set in one group for your entire life. But when you're in that group, that kvutza, that community, you need to know what your responsibilities are. So for the Talmidei Chachamim, people who are dedicating their time to learning, loving Hashem, Avas Hashem, work at becoming more godlike. All their energy is meant to be extended on furthering their own love for Hashem and to express that emotion through the keeping of mitzvos. What they notice about Hashem through their learning, what they notice about the author of the book that they're spending all their time going on, they should be implementing in themselves. So learning is the primary way to accomplish both. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, The Medrash says, how should I get to Avas Hashem? First parak of Kriyat Shema. V'ayu hadvarim ha'eila asher enochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha. Learn Torah, yield Ava. So Talmidei Chachamim makes a lot of sense that their primary avoda, the one thing that Hashem asks of them, group number two, in Ekev, is Avas Hashem and Dveikus B'mitzvos. Next we have the Hamon Am, the Kol B'nei Yisrael. The classic Jewish home business owner, family man, busy earning parnasa, taking care of his family, doing all the things. Basically, most of our parents, most of our people who made us who we are. The Hamon Am, that's what makes up the Jewish people. For him, Hashem is very basic, very expected. Hashem wants them to do the mitzvos. Right? If we can go back to that list from the beginning, from Ekev, Lishmoris mitzvos Hashem, yeschukos of, do the mitzvos. Again, they don't have time. They don't have time to sit in an Iyun Shir, spend 3 hours going through a sugya. They're spending all their time in the shab. They're spending all their time, I don't know, in graduate school and becoming doctors and doing what they're doing. All good things, all important. Hashem says, from you guys, I have mitzvos, I have commandments, I have a ma'arechet, I have a system set up for you guys to be part of, 613 mitzvos. Give your time to that when available. Learning is one of them, koveyaitim. But it's not it's not the be-all and end-all, it's not the overarching chiyah for them. Do the mitzvos, great. The last group is Nashim Ba'atav, is with the women and children. Hashem, the last thing in Ekev, that was the last thing in Nitzavim, the last thing in Ekev, is Litovlach. Hashem requests of them, the one question is to do good, to do things that contribute to a positive living atmosphere for kids to listen to their parents, that's not so easy sometimes, for wives to help out their husbands. This is a task that has incomparable effect on the family life, on the home. It can't be specifically formulated, do this, don't do that. It's more, it depends on the family. So that's the Toblach. Hashem relates to different people, different ways, different people in different stations. Hashem says, I'm not going to ask the same thing from every single one of you, from each group. That wouldn't make any sense. I have expectations. I have a request that I'm going to make from the Rosh Ha'am, from the Talmidei Chachamim, from the Hamon Am, and from everybody else. The request, the demand, the mitzvah changes as we're going. That explains the Ma Hashem Elokecha in Ekev, and that explains the list that we have in Nitzavim. Very nice. One of the ideas, I think, that comes out of this piece from the Nitziv asks you to take a look at yourself. Go on. Take a look around. None of you are taking a look around. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach. Let's not talk about groups anymore. It's easy to get lost in a group. You have to place yourself, am I in this group, am I in that group? What does Hashem ask from you? You as an individual, you as a person. What's his relationship with you built on? Wherever you're holding, why did he create you? Why did he bring you into the world? He did it for a reason, right? You didn't have to be here. You weren't some accident. Hashem decided the world needs, I don't know, somebody random, Tavia Goldstein. Wow, random. The world needs Tavia Goldstein, so I'm going to bring Tavia Goldstein into the world. So why did Hashem create you? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach. There must be a reason. You know what it's like? There's a giant risk board. There's a cannons over here, horses over there, all the different colors. And Hashem calls you over, this is right before you're born, Hashem calls you over and says, I have a mission card for you. Probably get two mission cards, you're playing that way. I have a mission card for you. Take the card, you read it, you look at it, it's like, oh my God, this is like Asia and Africa or like whatever the hard one is. So it says, no, you got this, you can pull it off. Here's your mission card. Everybody gets their own separate mission card. And then Hashem takes it back. You don't get to hold on to it. But you know what your mission is. Then he reaches into, the bank, the armory. I guess he reaches into the armory, and he pulls out some cannons, and he gives it to you. He pulls out a few horses, the horsemen, and he gives it to you. He pulls out some of the infantry guys, gives it to you. He's giving you what you need to accomplish your mission. So you have the mission. He says, this is what I need you to accomplish in the game of Risk. And here's your men, here's your tools, here's everything that I'm giving you that you're going to need. And then he sends you into the game. You have your mission card. You have what you need to do. Now the only question is, are you going to do it? What does it look like? What does it feel like to be on a mission? So Rav Terigin likes to describe this. He described this in his Hesped for Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Said Rav Aaron always was running. From here to there, carrying this big sack of svarim, he was running from shir to away from shir. Always running. Why was he always running? Because he had things to do. He had places to go. He had people to see. He was always busy because he knew I'm here for a specific amount of time. I have a job to do in that specific amount of time. And he knew what his job was. So what? He's just going to mosey along, taking his time? No. If I waste my time, I'm not going to get to the end of my mission card. I'm not going to conquer that 18 thing with the two guys on it. I need to get all 18 of them. If I'm wasting my time, that's not going to happen. Happens to be the exact same description. It works for a Terrigan also. If you ever tried to walk through a Terrigan and have a conversation with him, he's fine. Because he knows he has what to do. He has places he needs to be. He's happy to talk to you, but he's still got things to do. You're going to be walking with him. You're going to be running with him as he moves. So to be on a mission means you appreciate, you feel like, I don't have time to waste. I can't just walk around slowly. You know you're moving. You know there's what to do. I got to get there. It's so much easier. It's so much calmer and more comfortable to think that there's really no mission. Hashem gave us 613 boxes to check. And as you go through life, you check the boxes. But there's no mission to get to the end of the 613. There's no goal that I need to, like, dafka get through every single one. There's nothing that I'm specifically charged to do. It's this list of 613 things. And when they show up, then I'll do them. I'm a good Jew. But there's no specific mission that's mechayev me right now. So that means that when I'm tired after a long night seder, I can pull up my phone and I can watch the highlights because I'm not doing any averas. It's all good. No X's on the boxes. And then I can, I don't know, scroll my Facebook feed for the next 4 hours and fall asleep drooling on my pillow at 4 a.m. Because no averas, guys. The whole thing is about checking the boxes when they show up and not doing the averas when they show up. So all good. But for the guy who has that sense of mission, the sense of, I'm here for a reason, I'm supposed to be doing something with my time, what's he going to feel like the next morning? I think we know what the guy feels like, because at some point or another, we've been that guy. What's that guy going to feel like the next morning when he's trying to get through a morning seder? Is morning seder even part of his mission? I don't know, that's a good question. A life of mission, or a life of purpose, means that you're not just avoiding the wrong things and checking the boxes when they show up. You're proactively going out of your way to say, what's my next step? What's the next thing that I need to accomplish? So right now we're up in the air. Up in the air is great. We're talking theory. But what does it mean for me individually, for you individually, for every single person to have a mission? How do you know what your mission is? How are you supposed to figure that out? It's great to say, oh, you got a mission card, or you got that risk mission card, but again, God took it away from me. I don't see that card. It's not in my wallet right now. So how am I supposed to know what that mission looks like? It's a hard question. And that's part of what Rosh Hashanah is going to be about. Rosh Hashanah is not just the day of Din. It's a Yom HaDin. The only way a Yom HaDin makes sense, a day of judgment makes sense, is if Hashem thinks that you matter enough to be judged. You guys know the random, like, accordion person out in the rova? Still there, right? Fantastic. Okay, good. So that random accordion person plays very nice music. But let's say, like, that the random accordion person wasn't so good. It's Shashi, right? Still? Yeah. Okay, good. She's not getting called in. That was, like, 5 years ago. Give me a break. She's not getting called in for a performance review saying, like, hey, you used to be really good, but you've kind of slacked off, and we'd really appreciate it if you upped your game. Right? That's not happening. She's not part of the staff meetings, creating the Avi Ra, the old city. That's not happening. Why not? Because I'm sure she's fantastic, but she's not part of the broader goal. She's not contributing anything specific to what we're trying to accomplish. She doesn't get a performance review because she doesn't matter in the broad. She matters, of course, in the big scheme of things I'm saying for us right now. She's not getting called into yeshiva for a performance review because she doesn't matter for the purpose that we're trying to accomplish. But somehow, we have a Yom HaDin. We do get called on the carpet. We do get called in for a performance review, and Hashem says to every single one of us, as individuals, how was your year? Did you measure up? Did you accomplish what I asked you to accomplish for this year? Were you using your time in a way which at least made it possible for you to do the job I asked you to do? So Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, is predicated, is based on the idea that every single one of us, number one, has a job, and number two, has a job that matters enough for Yom HaDin to make sense, for it to be, let's say, worth God's time. So let's look at ourselves. Let's look at how we're doing. Right? We're not that guy. We're not that 4 a.m. guy. We're all past that, hopefully. We're all working our way past that. We're guys who are working our siddur, putting in the time. And for to be 100% straightforward, to be fully honest, that's where you guys think I'm going to like totally rip into you right now. To be 100% honest, you guys get a big shkoyach, especially the Shana Aleph guys. You've been here for 3 weeks. We've started Slichos already. You're falling on your faces. But still, you're coming in at 7. You're leaving at, I don't know, leaving at 10:30, leaving at 11:15, leaving at 12:15. The guys who are waking up at 6:30, the guys who are waking up at 5:15. Whatever your day looks like, the number of hours doesn't really matter. It's the fact that you're giving your all to put in a full day's work. You're walking in when you're walking in. You're walking out when it's time to walk out. That's obviously a huge switch, a huge change from the culture, from the background that I think all of us are coming from. Of, I don't know, what's the number one priority of high school life? Be chill. Okay, close enough. Gotta be chill. It's like, work hard for school, and then the other, like, rest of life is chill, man. Be chill. Relax. Calm down. What's the big deal? Just be chill! So to go from chill, from relax, from calm down, for literally, I guess, our entire lives, and then come straight into a yeshiva environment where there's no, like, tests that you gotta excel at, and then you can just relax and calm down and wait till the next one. It's every single day is I'm putting in the time. I'm coming into Seder, I'm leaving Seder, I'm doing Chazara, I'm learning with Israeli Chavrusas and trying to figure, yeah, it's good things. Trying to figure out how I'm actually gonna work Tanakh into my day. All those big things that we're trying to figure out, that's what your yeshiva day looks like. It's the exact opposite of the chill mentality. It's the exact opposite of saying, oh, I'll just take it easy, I'll work for that test, and then I'll go back to taking it easy. So it's a big switch, it's a big paradigm shift, and you guys have done it well. So mitzad that, you get the shkoyach, for sure. Give yourselves a kolak avod. But during that time, just because you're there, during that time, are you using that time like it's part of the mission? Do you see how the learning fits into the mission? Right, you all got the mission card. Did anybody get the card that says your mission is to do 3,000 hours of chesed over the rest of your life? Let's say 30,000 hours of chesed. That guy would have a tour from learning. No, he'd have a tour from yeshiva. You will build 100 million sukkahs over your life. That's a great mission card. That's fantastic. Probably should come in and learn Hilchos Sukkah first. Maybe you can say that. But did anybody get a card which doesn't have learning as part of the mission? Okay. Now you're gonna come up here and explain. How can it be he was shaking his head, which is the right answer, but how can it be that every single person somehow has different missions, but every single one involves somehow, because we're all here, every single person's mission somehow involves giving 1 year, 2 years, 2.5 years, took me 3 years. 3 years, however much time is going to take you in yeshiva, giving a full day, day in, day out, hours, till you're not sleeping, till you're falling on your face for a base nap, whatever it is, that much time and dedication of straight learning. How does that fit into the mission? And are we learning like it does? So what does it look like? What's the picture? The picture I have in my head of the guy who's not on the mission, the guy with his shoes off. I'm a shoe off guy. I'm definitely a socks guy. But shoes off, chair tipped all the way back. He's like schmoozing with the guys who pass by, like, hey, good to see ya. Like, oh, you finally made it to morning center. Good one. Like, the hawker, the guy who's like, he's learning the sources, but he's also like hanging around. We're not calling anybody out, guys. Come on. That guy, he's here. He's learning. He's putting in the time, and it's good to put in the time, but he's not on a mission. He's clearly not at the stage of, I, number one, appreciate what my mission is, and number two, I see how my learning is meant to fit into that mission. Those are the two questions we're trying to answer. What does it look like when he does feel like he's on a mission? He's the guy who clocks in when he's clocking in, the 60 minutes in an hour guy, right, the Chafetz Chaim's Maspid, I think. The guy who's he's still a hacker, still a chaverman, but not during Seder time, not in the base medrash. If there are ever any times where he's not in the base medrash, and those are the times where he's hanging out, where he's still being normal, still being a great friend. But when he's in the base medrash, he knows this is my time to be learning. This is my time to be, let's say, building my appreciation or increasing my appreciation of who Hashem is and what that means for me, who I'm supposed to be. Remember, we mentioned before the Talmidei Chachamim. The group of Talmidei Chachamim mentioned by the Netziv have two goals. They have the goal of Ava and Dveikus B'mitzvos. L'davka bol, basically, beholder of following in the Derech Hashem. The reason those two things are connected is because if you understand Torah, understand the full corpus of Torah, not just Torah Shebichtav, not just Torah Shebichtav, everything that you learn, if you're seeing that with a lens of this is Hashem, this is godliness, this is what I'm supposed to end up somehow, this is what I'm supposed to make myself into, then that needs to automatically translate itself into some sort of an impact. Talmidei Chachamim, number one, get the Ava, they build a relationship, they get to know who Hashem is, and they can actually build a real relationship there. And number two, they start appreciating who Hashem is, and what does that mean for me? If he does this, I should probably do the same thing. If he's acting in that way, if he responds like this, I should probably do the same thing. Sometimes that works directly for specific character traits. Sometimes that's more for how Hashem wants us to be acting or how Hashem wants us to be thinking. We're learning Sukkah this year, right? Something that I've liked pointing out to my B'kiyas Chabura, shout out to the B'kiyas guys. Throughout the Masechta, there are references, there are connections, a few times, between Sukkah and the Beis HaMikdash, Kurbanos and Kachim. Sorry, Kurbanos and Dalet Minim. Halachos for Lulav are learned for halachos from Kachim, from Karbanos. The height of a sukkah is learned from the height of the Ulam and the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. You see random connections that don't seem to make any sense, but hey, that's the way Torah works, I guess. This word, it shows up here, and this word shows up here, so I guess we can connect them. That makes sense. That's one way of looking at things, but if you have this deeper appreciation of saying, my learning of Torah is meant to be impacting me in a specific way, I'm supposed to be looking for messages in the Torah that I'm learning, what Hashem built into the system for me to get out of it, then you'll start seeing ideas built into the halachos. For the example that we're giving, for the sukkah and dal minim, for the mizbeach, for the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kurbanos, there seems to be some sort of, I guess, imagery or symbolism of what are you doing when you go into your sukkah, especially when you go into your sukkah with your Dalet Minim. You're basically building a temporary Beis HaMikdash for yourself, and you're offering a karban based on the things, the aspecha migarnecha miigvecha, based on the Dalet Minim that you've pulled out, different types of vegetation, things that you've grown in your field. And I'm giving that up to Hashem as a karban. The symbolism of I'm taking my entire harvest, bringing that into a mini Beis HaMikdash, a temporary Beis HaMikdash, and bringing that up to God, isn't that much more impactful, isn't that much more exciting to actually be a part of than just, here's a hut, it's sometimes comfortable, sometimes not comfortable, but like, hey, you gotta check the box, gotta check the circle box, and gotta check the thorny Dalet Minim box, so check. If you understand the message, you understand the idea, and you see, I'm building myself into a specific persona, I'm working on how Hashem wants me to build myself into, and getting those messages from the Torah that you're learning. If that's the mission that you're on, if your mission is become the Eved Hashem who, become the person of Hashem who can do X, who can do Y, then the step number one for every single one of us is building ourselves into that person. That comes through our learning, that comes through our seeing the messages, and the more you see, the more messages you're going to be getting, giving the time that we're giving right now to be able to get those messages. So that's the basic level, that's the step one. The step two I can't tell you about. The step two is the hard part. The step two is the X and Y that we just said. Is once you become that person, I'm that person who will do something. What's the something? So if over the next couple of days you get a chance, grab a piece of paper, grab a pencil, and I'm going to ask you to do something which will make you feel very, very uncomfortable. Like viscerally uncomfortable. You guys ready? You're probably going to feel uncomfortable right now. Oh, perfect. Josh, do you mind if we use you as an example? Okay. Josh is going to be our guinea pig, Sierra Lazazel, something like that. Josh, if we asked you to, you have a piece of paper and a pencil, write your name on the top of the paper. Maybe that you can do. You're fantastic. Great job. Now draw a line right underneath your name and number it, number the next few lines 1 through 5. You're doing great.
Thanks.
Now, what I want you to do is write your five best, greatest, most impressive qualities on those lines. And he shrinks into an awkward, uncomfortable.
Do you
want to do it?
Do you actually want me to do it?
I do. You don't have to, no pressure. Bad things happen when you pressure people to do things. Okay, good. Josh, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to happen. Thank you very much. A round of applause for Josh. All I asked Josh to do was, he's lived in his own body. He's known himself for 19 years. So he has a pretty good sense of what his strengths are, let's say what his weaknesses are, what his strong suits are, what he does well. And I asked him to list five. But he's like, I don't know, I didn't really get started writing. Why was that uncomfortable? Because Josh is a huge Balmidos. He's not a Balgaiva. He's not going to say, oh, I'm so good at this, I'm fantastic, and these are like my top five qualities. It felt very, very uncomfortable. We're not used to be able to recognize and just put out on a piece of paper, or even say in front of the room, this is what I am good at. These are things that I recognize I am skilled at. The reason that's a little funny, again, it's a natural reaction. I'm pretty sure we all have that reaction. Not just Josh. He did a great job. The reason that's a little bit funny that it's so natural for us, is that it's so instinctive for us, is because what that's like is you all came here to Israel. Who got Shliach Mitzvah money? Okay, when you got Shliach Mitzvah money, let's say like anybody got a $10 bill. Okay, so you got a $10 bill for your Shliach Mitzvah money, like big bucks, great. Now you show up in yeshiva and you give it to the Gabbai Tzedakah. Do you feel like, look at me, I've got 10 bucks and I'm giving it to the Gabbai Tzedakah. Oh my God, what a guy. Yes or no? Mistama not, right? Why not? It's not your money. Somebody on the other side of the ocean gave you the $10. You flew over here. It wasn't that hard. And then you just gave it to the guy. You didn't earn the money. You didn't work for the money. It wasn't even hard to like hold on to the money if you're barely responsible. It was given to you. It wasn't even a gift. You were passing it on to somebody else. It was given to you. So the skills, the talents, the things that make us who we are, the things that we are especially good at, are generally not things that we've put in hours and hours of effort for. They're not talents that we've honed over our increasingly intense high school years. They're things, they're affinities, they're qualities, they're, I don't know, attitudes or perspectives that we were born with. What does it mean that we were born with them? We were gifted them. They were given to us. They're the Shliach Mitzvah money. They're the risk card. That's what Hashem gave us. That's the way you're going to know what is my job. What is my mission? So the first thing you need to do, obviously, if you're going to actually accomplish your mission, which is the goal of the game, accomplish your mission, the first thing you need to do is be able to take that piece of paper, 1 through 5, Josh is going to be giving out copies after the message, and be able to say, what are my top five? What's my 1? What's my 2? What's my 3? What's my 4? What's my 5? If you can come up with a list that's unique to you, that really defines who you are and what sets you apart from everybody else, you will know, what am I here for? What am I meant to be doing with my time? Those qualities weren't given to you by accident. It wasn't just like luck of the draw. You happened to be in the right spot in line, so you got the good looks and the strong and the positive disposition. No, that was given to you for a reason. Again, it's not something for you to be all gaiva about. It's not something that you should be hiding from your friends. It's something that tells you, this is my mission, this is my job. This is Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'el Me'ima. So we have Yom HaDin coming up. If you can pull off the mission before Yom HaDin, it's going to be a lot easier for you to negotiate and say, hey God, I know what you want me to do. So we just got the yeshiva, so like I just figured it out now, so give me a little bit of a break. But next year, now that I know what I'm supposed to be doing, I figured out what you gave me, I figured out the tools that you gave me, I appreciate, or I'm starting to appreciate the mission, and give me time to get there. Give me time to number one, build my base. That's what we're doing here in Yeshiva. Creating our personalities in the way that Hashem wants us to. And the more you see, the more you learn. The more shittas you see, the more gemara you see, the more fantastic midrashim you see. The more you'll get an understanding of or a sense of what did Hashem want as the ideal Jew, as the basic, base level personality, belief system, value system of the Jewish people, of the people that he wants representing him in the world. Once you have that base that we all share, once you have that first card that we all share, you'll be able to go out into the world with your list of 5, 7, 10, whatever, however many qualities you're able to put on that piece of paper and say, not only am I representing Hashem in the world as a base level Jew, I'm also the mission that he gave me. I'm also that card. I'm also that guy who, because of this crazy combination of, I don't know, slackline, hiking, and, I don't know, Skokie Yeshiva and 3 years in Yeshivat HaKotel, put me somehow, specifically in this context, to be able to tell you all this mussar. Because, yeah, the slackline was a huge part of this mussar, guys. You just don't realize it. When do you know what slackline is? Oh, man. Okay, slackline is what taught me the idea of being able to walk a balance, walk a line where you have one extreme on this side, another extreme on this side, and be able to walk a line while wavering from side to side, but still being able to hold a baseline or a basic idea in the middle. What a slack line is you attach climber's webbing between two trees, and your goal is to walk from one side to the other without falling down. So since it's a loose line, it's a slack line as opposed to a tight rope. See that? Slack line, tight rope. So it wavers back and forth. But your goal is basically walk a relatively steady, straight line, and then you can do tricks and do all crazy things. It's fantastic. So if you appreciate the message of the slack line, it tells you that there are two extremes on either side. It's the Rambam's golden path. You have two extremes on either side, and sometimes you need to be able to move from one side to the other. But you're always coming back to the center. Pretty cool. So that's part of the mussar. That was all. That was why that was relevant. But your mission cards. If you appreciate the mission card, the baseline, the time in yeshiva, if you're acting, if you're putting in the time, you're putting in the full day with the attitude of a man on a mission, with the attitude of, this is something that I understand why I'm here for, I understand what I'm doing here, and then take your list of 5, take your list of 10, and go put it into action, you'll be able to respond to the Maha Hashem Elokecha Shuel Me'imach with a real solid answer. Travis.
Big YK here at Steve Goldstein giving a beautiful
4-5 in 7 minutes.